Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley gives us good insight on the rights and privileges of being a part of God's family.
We have become the children of God, and the one thing about children is they always have access to their Father. I don't have to go through any kind of a chain of command to reach God. Jesus has opened the door to the very throne of God in heaven, the creator of all things.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. If you were to call the president, do you think that phone call would get very far? And yet God, the Almighty Creator, has given you His direct number. Yeah, just close your eyes and talk to Him through prayer. Today, Pastor Ray encourages us to take advantage of that privileged access.
Colossians chapter 2. Now, what Paul is talking about here is things that pertain to the law. Verse 16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink. I like that. Don't judge me because I like to eat. Or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Paul here is saying, because they had certain holy days and Sabbath days and moon days, Paul is saying, don't let anyone judge you in these things. He is saying a particular diet will not bring you closer to God. Or I cannot, by eating this and not eating that, make myself righteous. And yet there are people who will judge you based on what you eat or what you don't eat. I also want to say that there are very excellent physical reasons for the dietary laws when you actually read them and get into it. They're not just some arbitrary thing where God said, well, I just don't want you to eat that. And okay, well, that's okay to eat. They're actually reasons. And there is a book, if you're interested at all, it's called None of These Diseases. I don't have the author's names here, but you could just look that up. None of These Diseases. It was written by two physicians, modern day physicians, who went through the dietary laws and gave medical, modern evidence that it's the reasons for these laws is that they are healthy. There's a logic to it. There's a reason to it. God said, if you eat this way, it will bring you life. It will be healthy for you, generally speaking. And again, you know, you're going back thousands of years, so some of the things maybe we don't have to be as concerned about today, but in general, the laws are good. And certain Christians that want to follow certain dietary laws, great. But here's the problem. If I am following certain things to eat and not eat because I want to treat my body as a temple and I want to eat healthy, Paul is saying, don't then go to your brother who is not following what you're doing and judge him. But again, in verse 17, Paul gets to the heart of the matter. He says, which all these things are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is Christ. Now, whenever you have a shadow, something had to make the shadow. These things were the shadows of the substance, but the substance is Christ. And Paul is saying, you know, sometimes religious people can make the shadow, worship the shadow, follow the shadow, and idolize the shadow of things and the rituals over and above the real substance. Jesus said to a bunch of religious people in his day 2,000 years ago, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me. And one of the reasons that we do not only believe in the teaching, the Old Covenant, Genesis, Exodus, all the way through the wisdom literature, Psalms and Proverbs, and then through the prophets. It's the Word of God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that He reveals Himself as all of these things point to Jesus, even in the Old Covenant. Every sacrifice, as you read through it, there are five sacrifices. And all five reveal something unique, distinct, special about the Messiah. For instance, there's one that's called the whole burnt offering. There's this food, this meat that is given, and it's thrown into the fire, and it's totally, completely consumed. Well, you begin studying that, it becomes a picture of Jesus who wholly, totally, completely gave himself to be consumed upon the cross. He gave his life. So Paul is saying, look, if these feasts or holy days or whatever are leading you into a more intimate, personal communion with the substance of Jesus, praise God. I don't judge a brother or a sister. And if someone else is saying no, because I would, and this could be true, very true, within the same church, another person could say, you know what, I don't do that anymore because I idolized my rituals and the little things I did, and I lost Jesus in the midst of it. So now I don't do it. And I have a new communion and devotion and time with it. Then don't judge that brother or sister as well. One of the great problems within the church has always been legalism and the danger of that kind of legalistic life. Now, verses 18 and 19. Paul gives here a warning against mysticism. Verse 18, he says, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." Don't cut. Who is the head? Jesus. If you're the body, if a body gets cut off from the head, what happens? The body dies. So don't let, and Paul is saying there is a false mysticism that is seeking to replace the head, which is Jesus, in your lives. And he says, don't let it happen. Don't get cheated. Don't lose the reward. The reward is that personal intimacy and relationship with Jesus. Paul then is warning against a false mysticism. There's nothing wrong with a mysticism that draws you into a deeper communion with the Lord. But there are other kinds of mysticism in the world. And Paul was warning against the imagination of what are called the Gnostics, who are recently being made, their ideas and writings made popular again. And part of it based on, I guess, the Da Vinci Code was written based on another book that was written that was based on the Gnostics. The very people that Paul was warning his church about, their beliefs are right here today, and there are millions of people who are going, hey, wait a second, maybe. And Paul says, don't be cheated. Learning the secrets of the spiritual world can be very enticing. Be careful. Seeking mediums who talk to the dead. Now, the idea of medium is that, okay, you guys are neophytes, you're not really, you're not able to go into the spirit world as well or directly, but there are some people who are gifted. And they can connect on a human level, but they can also connect and listen to and talk with a little bit the spirit world, and so they become your medium or they become your mediator between the two worlds. Paul is saying you don't want another medium, let alone another mediator between you and God. You don't need anybody between you and the Lord. You don't want, because the thing is, they, as he mentions here, angels. Apparently, 2,000 years ago, this is how Gnosticism manifests itself. Angels would come. Paul says, don't listen to that. There may be some that really are visited by angels. But if they are a medium, those messages of those angels are not what you want to hear. Because if there really is a spirit world where there are holy angels and Gabriel and Michael, and on the other side there is a Lucifer who was created by God and who rebelled and took a third of the angels in rebellion with him, then there can be spiritual beings whose purpose is to lie and to deceive and to rob and to divert and, you know, challenge the throne of God, the kingdom of God, the gospel, Jesus, etc. And just because there's something that can't be explained, that seems real, yeah, it's real, it can be real, but beware of it. So also the mystic signs of the zodiac, where people, you know, they want a little bit, I want something more direct to tell me, should I move? The Bible doesn't tell me. So, okay, I'll go to the signs of the zodiac, and what does my sign say? You know, and they want to read in the stars, somehow maybe it's telling me where I should live, and they follow the signs of the zodiac. Or you get caught into, and this has happened many times, someone I've known that got saved, gave their lives to the Lord, and after a while, they go through a dry spell. Every Christian goes through a desert experience. They go through a dry spell. It's a testing. So what are you going to do now? It's dry. Just like the children of Israel in the wilderness. We don't like it here. I'm going back to Egypt. Metaphor for the world. Yeah, I was a slave there, but at least they had, you know, leeks and onions. You know, I was a slave and they whipped me and I had to make bricks my whole life, but man, they had good food. So I'm going back. Okay, great. Well, there are people that get in a dry spell. Church isn't enough, and I don't get enough out of the Bible, and you know, so they hear of something mystical over here, and it's a little group, small group, and it seems like there's this real, you know, fellowship, and there's some interesting things and some secrets, and there's always this little clique, a little society that gets developed, and people are drawn into it. And it could be any one of these things. And the thought of being excluded from an inner circle is so devastating to some people, they will do anything to stay in it. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, once said, "The desire to be in the inner circle, whatever that may mean, is one of the great permanent mainsprings of human action. Of all passions, the passion for the inner ring is the most skillful in making a man or a woman who is not yet a very bad man do very bad things." I want to be in. I want to be on the inside. Paul is saying, you're vulnerable. And somebody's going to come along and say, oh, what you have and Jesus is not enough. Add this. And you'll be part of a special inner circle and experiences, and Paul is saying, don't do it. Don't let go of Jesus. Don't cut yourself off from the head. We don't need a mediator. We can go directly to Jesus for our strength and comfort. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 is in your notes. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." You don't have to go through a medium to get in touch with the spirit world. I don't have to go through any kind of a chain of command to reach God. Jesus, our Savior, has opened the door for all of us, brand new baby Christian, or one who's walked with Him for decades. All of us can walk through the door to the very throne of God in heaven and have immediate access. Immediately, He hears us. We have immediately an audience with the Creator of all things. Why would you go so far down the ladder to try to find somebody else that you think you have to go through to go back up to what you already have in Jesus? Don't do it. Don't cut yourself off from the head. Don't cheat or be cheated out of your reward. We have become the children of God, and the one thing about children is they always have access to their father. Now, I have, come to a place where it is challenging for me to be able to answer every letter that is written and every email. Emails have increased even way more. And phone call and people that would like to sit down and talk with me about ideas or ministries or whatever else. I can't keep up with it all. And that's why we've got a great team of other pastors. And that's what I love to do. But no matter what kind of a day it is, or how busy or crazy or hectic that it is, any time that I hear a knock on the door, and I see the little Noah's head come around the corner, and little Bentley usually in tow right behind him, "Papa!" All of a sudden, my schedule is clean, clear, free, and open. They can come in any time of the day or night for any reason, ask me anything, they have immediate access to me. They have always access to me. Why? Because of my love for them and because of the relationship that we have. Everything else gets put to the side. Paul is saying that's what you have with not just an angel, glorious though an angel like Gabriel or Michael might be, you have that kind of access with God, Almighty God, God the Creator, God the Father. You go right beyond all the rankings of angels, right into His throne, and you have His undivided attention. When you just look toward Him for a moment, He's looking back. When you just throw a thought up from your heart toward Him, He's on it like that. Because you are His dearly beloved children. Paul says, don't cheapen yourself by acting like or going towards some other kind of nonsense. You don't have to do it. And that's the neat thing about God, your relationship. There's always access. The door is always open. You may always come boldly. So let's close with verses 20 through 23. Last point. Let us not worship religious ritual, but worship Jesus alone. Paul says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations, or you might say rituals? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. There's legalism. Don't do this, don't do that, and don't do that. And if that is your faith and your Christianity is just don't do that. Can you see how negative that is and how why that's not fun for other people? Here's the good news. Don't. And I often think about what the world hears from the church. Many times we're getting in the way of what the good news really is. That's not what it's about. Paul says, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying spiritual discipline is not good. I think that it is good. But Paul is warning against extreme religious ritualism. And the church, as an institution for the last 2,000 years, does have a bad track record in the past at certain times for telling people that they should reject. For instance, at various times in church history, there were those who, as Christians, said, don't ever get married, reject marriage. There were others who said, reject sex, that's bad. Or reject being parents, or who knows? The list is long. And it's sad because what they're doing, what often happens is in legalism or a self-made religion, in fact, I'll say this, any religion that puts self at the center is doomed to failure. Do it yourself. There's a lot of do it yourself Christianity. If we set as our goals self-discipline, self-awareness, self-fulfillment, self-esteem, self-actualization, and self-help, we may end up in the end be worshiping ourselves instead of God. Now, here is a basic, simple kind of what I call the ABCs, a little building block of becoming a Christian. One of the first discoveries that you make, and it might seem rather obvious to you, to all of us here, but it is something that needs to be said. One of the first discoveries you make about becoming a Christian is that you yourself are not God. You're not God. There's a lot of mysticism that says, oh, but you are. It's in you. You're a little God in there. You're a little goddess in there. Let that God and goddess out. And apparently people are, and I want to say, no, go back in. You're not God. Here's what I'd like you to do. I would like, and you know, here we are. We're in church. We're just being honest. Let's apply this principle. Turn to somebody near you and say, I am not God. Just go ahead and say it out loud. Turn to someone and say that. All right, now, let's follow that up with the corollary. Turn back to that same person and say, and neither are you. We didn't need to do that, but I just thought that's funny. Neither are you, buckaroo. Okay, so. The substance and the reality is Jesus. Hold on to him. Paul is warning, and I am warning you that we're in a different era right now, and I think that Christianity is going to be more under attack. The message will be more under attack. The institutions are already under attack. Let me say this. There is nothing new under the sun. And those books, the Gnostics, have been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But what is sad is that it doesn't surprise me that there are people that will take that and that will become what they believe, and I know that. What I am concerned about is you. I don't want you, and Paul didn't want the Colossians to be cheated, to be ripped off, to be lied to be deceived, even if there is some kind of demonically energized, you know, reality. Yes, there is a spiritual world out there. There is another way to become spiritually energized, but here's what I've always found. Those who began in the church and began with the simple gospel, and then for whatever reason hit a dry spot or went through a desert or they got hurt or there was a hypocrite or they got judged or something happened and they go off and they end up in some weird little cult group, inner circle, mystic, whatever. There's a thousand or more different ways to go. Always when it is on the other side of the spiritual world, there is, in the beginning, initially, a very energizing, enticing, exciting, you know, part of it. But the longer it goes, the more dark it becomes. And a darkness of depression, a darkness of nothing means anything, life doesn't mean anything, I don't mean anything, it can lead toward thoughts of suicide. It is full of lies because, well, Satan is the father of all lies, and he'll entice you enough to get you to believe how powerful and things can, you know, be different than just average normal life. But his goal is really to destroy, or whoever, whatever fallen angels he has. So be warned, spare yourselves. You don't have to go down the long road that leads to darkness when you're already in the light.
From Colossians chapter 2, Pastor Ray Bentley is reinforcing the trustworthiness of God's Word and how we have access, direct access, to our Heavenly Father. Now listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for Stay Free in Jesus. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Mention the title, Stay Free in Jesus. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Colossians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us see God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you The Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Colossians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.